This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Do It Right, Integrity Despite Circumstance, was delivered on March 28, 2021. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Confidence and in faith, Father, we give you all the praise and glory in your Son's mighty, loving name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother James. I really, really appreciate you, man. I didn't realize this morning that when I did the schedule for this week that James would be leading the worship, he'd be doing the announcements, and then later on in the service, I'm going to have him come up and wrap up the message. So really, really appreciate you. But word of advice, never, ever, ever pick on somebody who also comes up and speaks on stage. Double that if it's your wife, okay? Now he gonna go home and get dirty lickings, and then when Jen gets to speak, he gonna get dirty lickings all over again. Happy Palm Sunday, everybody! Yeah. How many of you actually realized this year that it was Palm Sunday until James addressed us with that this morning? You know, a couple months ago, I told somebody that I had the message today, and he told me, oh, good, so you got the Palm Sunday message. And, you know, being the pastor who schedules everything, I'm supposed to be on it. And I didn't realize, hey, yeah, it's Palm Sunday. But, you know, Palm Sunday often gets overlooked, not knowing the importance of it. We just see it as the Sunday before Easter Sunday, right? A lot of times we see that. But Palm Sunday is actually way bigger than that. Palm Sunday is actually the day when all of the world actually got it right about who Jesus Christ really was. Back in college, I remember my theology professor, he said, Jesus Christ is the person who is most misunderstood in this world. And I've thought about that through the years, and that's so true. Everybody has their opinion about who Jesus was, even today, who Jesus is. And especially back in the time when he was walking on this earth, people had all kinds of conceptions and misconceptions about who he was. Nothing has changed. But for that one moment, on this day that is called Palm Sunday, it seems that the whole world got it right. It was some 2,000 plus years ago on this day that everybody just seemed to get it right on who Jesus really was. And that's what we're celebrating today. As the story goes, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem out of the countryside and into the big city to attend this celebration known as the Passover. Now, if you don't know what the Passover is kind of like our version of 4th of July, only way more magnanimous because the whole nation would come and gather in one city to celebrate. And we're going to pick up the story in Matthew 21. Now, I've purposely left these first two scriptures out of the notes this morning because I don't want everybody to be looking down here. I actually want you to have your focus up here. And you're going to see why in just a few minutes. Matthew 21, starting in verse 1, says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead, and he said to them, go into the village over there. He said, as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Now this took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from trees, mostly palm trees, hence Palm Sunday, and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. Now, other translations may read Hosanna, or use the word Hosanna, which is a Greek expression of praise. It's probably the expression that we're most familiar with. But it's a Greek expression of praise, an expression reserved for a Savior. Hosanna in the highest. And for this moment in time, it seems the whole world understands who Jesus is as they cry out, "Praise God in the highest." For a moment in time, they get it right. Now, before I go on, I want to retract a little bit to the part in the story where Jesus tells the two disciples to go into that village, find the donkey and her colt, untie them, and bring them to him. And in case anybody asks, you just tell them, "The Lord needs them." Now, does anybody else here today find that crazy besides me? That's crazy. That is the equivalent of Pastor Scott telling two of us, go down to Toyota, you can find one red 2021 Tundra, four-wheel drive, extra cab, long bed, fully stocked. Keys going to be in the ignition, hop in, bring it to me so I can go fishing Milo Lee. And if anybody asks, just tell them Pastor Scott said. No way. You tell us to do that. We're not going to do that. We do that, Pastor Dennis is going to call the cops. That's crazy, but that's what this was like. Nevertheless, these two guys, they did it anyway. Because Jesus said. And because they did, prophecy is fulfilled and the people get it right. Now here's what I caught in all this. That no matter how crazy, no matter how against the grains of popular thinking, no matter what the circumstance, when we listen to Jesus, we cannot help but get it right. Now, I wish I could tell you that it stayed that way, but we all know the story that within 5 days, all the circumstances change. Less than a week, Jesus gets betrayed, he gets arrested, he gets accused of ridiculous crimes, and then he finds himself standing trial before the governor of the territory, facing a life or death sentence. Now his governor, who was named Pilate, he had a Passover feast tradition, much like that of our president and how our governors do today for special occasions. Pilate would grant forgiveness, like a get-out-of-jail-free card, to one prisoner of the people's choosing. So we pick up the story in chapter 27, where it says, "Now it was the governor's custom each year during the Passover celebration to release one prisoner to the crowd, anyone they wanted. This year there was a notorious prisoner, a man named Barabbas. As the crowds gathered before Pilate's house that morning, he asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Messiah?' He knew very well that the religious leaders had arrested Jesus out of envy. Just then, as Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message, 'Leave that innocent man alone. I suffered through a terrible nightmare about him last night.' Meanwhile, the leading priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to be released and for Jesus to be put to death. So the governor asked again, 'Which of these two do you want me to release to you?' The crowd shouted back, 'Barabbas.' Pilate responded, 'Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?' And they shouted back, 'Crucify him.' 'Why?' Pilate demanded. 'What crime has he committed?' But the mob roared even louder, 'Crucify him.'" Less than 5 days. That's all it took to go from Hosanna in the highest to crucify him. To go from absolutely right to astoundingly wrong. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Circumstances happen. Now let me pose this question. How many times in our lives are we just like them? Easy to do what is right when it's easy to do. when it's in our favor, when it's what we wanted to do in the first place, then circumstances happen. Then what? Let me show you something. The reason why I want you to focus up here in the first place. Just shift your focus to your left, about 15 feet. To this. Because this is what happens when we get it wrong. Every single time we choose to get it wrong, someone, not necessarily ourselves, but someone pays the price. Ultimately, Jesus does. And ultimately, it wasn't just those who cried out, "Crucify him," that put that price on his head. It was everything that mankind has ever done wrong, starting with Adam and Eve's disobedience, to everything that you and I continue to do wrong today. Every time we get it wrong, someone pays the price. Whether it be our coworkers when we choose to cheat or steal from the company, whether it be our children when mom and dad choose to do things to hurt one another, whether it be that friend or family member who needs Jesus but wants nothing to do with him because outside of church, we choose to represent him poorly. Have I driven the nail in deep enough yet? We need to be doing it right, don't we? I believe that God is speaking that to his people heavily lately, especially in this extended season of challenge and turmoil, where the rest of the world just seems to be doing everything wrong because of circumstances. Hear God calling out to us, all the more you do it right. I mean, isn't that the reason why we find ourselves in this place called church in the first place? To receive instructions from God so that we can indeed do things right. Or we just come to sing, eat fried rice, and talk story. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Because we need to know what is right before we can do what is right. That's why daily devotions and hearing the message is so important. And I so enjoy when we get to do the Bible trivia. I'm so glad Pastor Scott does that. Encourages us all the more to get into our word and hear the instruction from God. Yeah? Hint, hint. Get into your word. Because somebody went grumble. Was James. That the questions was too easy. And you see, they're getting hard now. I only got 4 out of 10 this morning. James' fault. With all that in mind, let me throw out this question to you. Last Palm Sunday, April 5th, 2020, what was Pastor Scott's message? Anybody? And not even, and what was it about? The message was entitled Confined. And it was about using this time of isolation to grow closer to God. Good message. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I cheated. I had to go actually look that up the other day. But you know what I realized when I did? I realized this. I realized that first off, I really need to listen and learn and absorb better. And more importantly, that if I would just incorporate into my life, if I would simply do the things that Pastor Scott teaches us week in week and week out as he sits and hears from God, my life would be so much better. I would eliminate so many problems. I would get to do things right way more often. So what are we doing about it? What are we doing about the message that we hear? Romans 2:13 tells us that for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but those who obey the law will be declared righteous. Because hearing and knowing alone does not make things right. It's not right until it becomes actively right in our lives. Easier said than done, right? Or in this case, easier heard than done. In fact, didn't Pastor Scott say a couple of weeks ago that doing wrong is so much easier than doing right? See, I was listening. You want to hear something profound? Check this out. I heard this quote. And the guy said, you don't do the right thing because it always works out for you. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Amen. How many of you heard that before? Where did that come from? Not another church. Came from Bobby Brown. Not the entertainer, but Pastor Bobby Brown, the character in Cobra Kai. How's that? I think God had me watch that whole series just for this one quote. When I heard that, I said, wow, man. And I was in the middle of putting this message together. I said, that's it, God. You go. You don't do what's right because of what it'll do for you. You do what's right because it's right. You know what that's called? That's called integrity. And integrity is the key to doing it right. Integrity is the key to doing it right. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find Moses dishing out final instructions to the people of Israel before they get to enter the promised land. And he goes into lengths in dishing out these instructions because he knows he's not going to be there with them. And in Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you fully obey the Lord, again, if you fully obey the Lord and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. This one was on the trivia a couple weeks ago, yeah? I got them all wrong. But then he goes off to rattle off 22 blessings. Blessed in your field, blessed in your harvest, blessed in the cities and your homes. Everything in life covered in these 22 blessings, which come from living lives of integrity. He went to great lengths to get this point across to the people. Why? Because he understood the challenges that they would be up against, the circumstances that they would be facing. He knew how easy it would be for them to compromise their integrity. You know what? We face those same challenges today, maybe even more so. In this season that we're going through, so easy to compromise because of the circumstances. And I'm sure I've mentioned this word to you before, but I despise that word, compromise. Oh, I hear somebody say compromise, and man, the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I hate that word. I hate it, especially when it's used in marriage, when they say we compromise. No compromise. Compromise at its best is 50-50, going in two different directions. Agree, because when you agree, you go 100% in the same direction. I hate that word compromise. Compromise always says if. I'll do what's right if they do what's right too. You know what integrity says? Integrity says whether or not. It says, I'll do what's right whether or not they do too. Compromise says, if. I'll do what's right if it'll get me $1 million. Integrity says, I'll do what's right whether or not I get $1 million. But once integrity gets compromised, then it's a downhill spiral until we're sitting around wondering why our lives are so lacking in blessing. Would you write this down? That the enemy of integrity is compromise. Moses continues on in verse 15 where he says, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And you can go and check them out. I didn't, purposely didn't put them on because we make so much more work for Shelby. But again, he goes on to convey all the curses that come upon a life lacking in integrity. And it's not 22. It's more than 50 curses that accompany a life of doing things wrong. See, the difference between living a life of blessing or one of curse lies in the choice of making right and right decisions. That's why integrity is a choice. Integrity is a choice. And with that in mind, you can write this into number one. Integrity is a preset decision. Integrity is a preset decision. We have to make that decision daily and often throughout the day. And not just that, but beforehand, before the opportunity of decision making takes place. So that when you get to that point of compromise or non-compromise, you've already made the decision not to. You know, I don't know anyone who said beforehand that the goal in life was to be a drug addict. But I know a lot of drug addicts. I don't know anybody who in premarital counsel said, my goal is to be divorced in 10 years. Don't know anybody who would, in their right mind, who said that. But I know plenty of people who have been divorced within 10 years. I don't know anybody who said beforehand that their goal in life was to be mediocre. But I know a lot of mediocre people. You know why that happens? It's because integrity was not a preset decision in their lives. Before I get tempted with taking drugs, I've already made the decision not to. Before I get into trouble in my marriage, I've already made that decision to stick it out no matter what. And this is something that has plagued man from the beginning of time. In Genesis 4:7, God is talking to Cain. And you know Cain is the one who killed his brother, Abel. And he says, if you do what is right, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you have to master it. You know how you master it? Preset decision. By the time I already get to that place, I'm already there with my answer. One of the things that God spoke to Carlin and I in this pandemic, and I'm not saying it's right for you, but it was right for us. One of the things that he spoke was making sure that we get take the vaccination shots. Okay? No big deal, right? Except for this word. Have you ever heard of this? Trypanophobia. You know what that is? I had to look that one up too. It's a fear of needles. And I'm not afraid of many things in my life. I'm afraid of centipedes. I'm very afraid of public speaking. And I am deadly afraid of needles. I once had this hook in my hand, 16-0. A fishing hook. My jumped at me. I blocked him. Got the hook in my hand. Luckily, he came off. But barb didn't go all the way through, so we had to cut him. Big hook in the hand. Didn't bother me that much, but I went to the doctor's office, and Leilani, who attends here when she's in town, the nurse, she's the one who sewed me up. As soon as I saw the needle, I started to cry. I don't know why. But I did, and she was like, you idiot. You got a big hook in your hand and you're afraid of a little needle. I can't explain to you why. I don't know why I'm afraid of needles, but I am. So getting these shots was a big thing for me, and I had to psych myself up to get them. And it hurt badly, but I made that decision to do what God was asking me to do beforehand. And I sat in that chair, and I was a big boy, looked the other way, eyes closed, did not cry. And I did what I believe God was asking me to do, what was right. So integrity is a preset decision. Integrity is also a lifelong decision. It's not something that we turn off like a light switch. It's something that needs to be ingrained upon the heart. See, because if it's not ingrained upon the heart, then this world and the enemy of our God will always be challenging you until he finds your compromise point. And then he'll exploit it to the fullest. Psalm 51, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the heart, so you can teach me to be wise in my inmost being." You know how it becomes a lifelong decision? How it becomes written on our heart? How integrity takes us in our daily activities through all the things that we're challenged on? All the things that could compromise us? It's by sitting with the Lord. Daily devotions, again, sound like a broken record because it's that important. Getting instruction from God and acting upon it. Psalm 37, "If the Lord delights in a man's ways, he makes his step firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." God will help us to have integrity in everything that we do if we allow him to. So integrity is a lifelong decision. And then number three, integrity is the best decision you can make. Amen? I don't have to pound that one in. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Listen, God honors a life of integrity. 22 blessings that come with all of life, that cover all of life for life lived in integrity. He honors that life with immeasurable blessing, even to the point of physical well-being. That's how important integrity is in our lives. We'll wrap it up with this. That integrity leaves a legacy as well. You know, today's a very special day for me. I was praying about this and asking the Lord, because every message that I've done in the past year or so, you remember how I finished it? With a picture of my grandson up on the board. Well, he got to be here today. But when I think about doing it right, integrity does leave a legacy, doesn't it? Remember I said earlier, somebody pays when we do things wrong? Lots of times, it's our children and our grandchildren. Just by watching us, how we live, it passes things on to them. Truth is, I don't have to tell anybody, many people who don't know me but know my dad, I don't have to tell them that I'm Alex Pacheco's son. Not just because I look like him, but because I act like him. And a lot of the things, and he does a lot of things right. Thank God. Because those things have befallen on my life, left that legacy. And he does some things wrong. And I'm plagued with those things too. You want to leave a legacy? Knowing that your character will recycle yourself in your grandchildren, in your children, in the friends, in the people that you get to be a part of their lives. Then integrity is the best decision you can make. You'll only be able to give them what you have, and if what you have is integrity, what an awesome legacy we get to leave behind. I'm going to bring you back to the cross. Earlier, I pointed to this and told you that it represents what happens when we choose to do wrong. Well, next week is Easter. And this thing here, it also represents the most right thing that was ever done here on this earth in all of eternity. You see, for Jesus, this was the right thing to do. It was what God had asked him to do. So what is God asking you to do? This was his purpose in life. What's your purpose? This was how he got to bless mankind. How are you blessing others in your life? That's what made it right. And we get to do the very same things when we choose to do it right. And here's the bottom line. Following in the footsteps of Jesus, that eternal success is inevitable when we choose to do it right. Amen? Amen. Man, I'm going to ask James to come up here and close. I want to say this to you as I finish up this morning. Praise God in the highest. Amen.
Yes. That was a great message. And when you first accept Jesus, and you read the word, he's going to teach you how to live a life of integrity. And if someone out there or somebody in here, I'm going to give this opportunity to receive Jesus. So just let us bow our heads and just repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Please forgive me of my sins. Father, come live in me, change me, make me the person you want me to be. Father, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. In your name we pray, amen. Father, you've seen the hands. Raise your hand if you've seen this, received this message. And those of you at home. All right, you can put your hands down. Father, you see the hands on the hearts that want to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I ask you to just be the light to them. We cannot live on bread alone. Just we need you in our lives, Father. And we just ask you to change our hearts, open our hearts, so we can just live a life in honor of you. Father, we give you all the thanks and praise. We thank you for your son, Jesus. And we pray, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to close out for one of my favorite worship songs. As for me and my house, bonus. A trivia question. What scripture is that? Huh?
Your son, Joshua.
Yep.
Gotta be Psalms.
Huh?
Gotta be in Psalms.
So Joshua 25:15. All right.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.